Doctor, look.
Stand aside, nurse. I'm Dr. Homebrew.
All right, welcome everybody. Portland, HomebrewCon 2018. Thank you all for joining us here live in the convention space. I just rolled in like, I don't know, half an hour ago. So I'm still on coffee for the morning. I haven't had any beer yet, and I'm actually very disappointed in myself and I think in my team around me for not pouring beer.
Let's get you a beer here.
Nor any like tiki drinks with umbrellas in them.
I'm ready, dude. I am so ready to go get some tiki drinks. Tiki drinks and Rainier beer. That's what I'm here for. This is just ancillary, but that's just me. Before we get to the beers, everybody, I do want to thank, of course, our sponsor, Five Star Chemicals. The only way to clean and sanitize. They will have PBW. They do Star Sand. They do so much more than that. Check them out, fivestarchemicals.com. They're good folks. They sponsor this show. I think they've been from the jump.
Check them out here, too.
We love them very much. They are here, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
I haven't. Like, I just beelined right
huge.
Here.
Like, there's so much stuff here. It's great this
it
year.
It really is, man. And what's cool is there's a lot of things I've never heard of.
Yeah.
And so to me, that seems that homebrew in general is getting larger.
Or it means you've been living under a rock.
It could be both.
Or you just, you don't homebrew at all, and you don't really know much about what's going on in
the homebrew
industry anymore.
I'm the Patrick Starr of the homebrew world. I just kind of live under a rock at the bottom of the sea. But it's pretty cool to see. There's a lot of innovation coming out. There's a lot of people pushing homebrew and pushing homebrewers to kind of push their pushers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can I share a funny story to start us off here?
I doubt it, but go ahead and try.
Well, it may not be funny. Obviously, I'm a little bit sick, and I'm having a really hard time judging today, and I'm getting a lot better. I can actually smell today, the first thing I can do. But anyway, before I came over, at one point, I'm staying at a Residence Inn, so they have like an oven and a stovetop, and I filled up a big pot of water, heated it up, and then put a towel over my head and put it in there. And then, I worked out, and I came back, and it was like 2:30, and I had to be here at 3:15.
Yeah.
And I turn on the water, and there's no water in the entire place. So I'm totally sweaty, and I call the front desk. I'm like, oh, the water's been shut off, sir. We knew that was coming. And like, you didn't tell me this? So then there's no water coming out at all. So I take that hot pot of water, and it's the only water I had in the place, put it in the bathtub and give myself like a sponge bath. It was awesome. So that's what I did before I came over.
Is that a technical term for that, the horse bath? Or?
Yeah, I don't know.
Right. That's some Walking Dead shit right there,
that was great. So
did you and Michonne go?
I don't look as bad as I could have been possibly. I could have showed up after, flying here yesterday, not showering, then working out. But I managed to have that pot of water. If I didn't have that, I would have been screwed. But yeah, it was awesome to have
that. That's a lesson to everybody out there.
So whoever stays in that hotel room next will get to use the pot that I actually had in the bathroom with me, wiping myself down and dipping it back in again. So I'm happy. They're gonna enjoy some pasta out of that.
They're a lucky person.
Pot. Yeah,
his pasta is very oniony. I don't understand. Why is it oniony? Of course, we have Keith here, and we have Brian.
Hey.
Thank you for coming out, guys. I appreciate it. I'm glad we were able to do the show. I dropped all my notes here, of course. And then our first guest is Jeff. Now, Jeff has been on a couple of times, right?
I have. I was on the first show, yeah.
The first show, and I think you've been on another time. And
I was on another time after that, yeah.
Why are you still here?
Because I really don't know how to brew.
Fair.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Hopefully these guys can give me some good tips or tear my beer apart. We'll see what happens.
Either one. I'm sure that they can do both. This is for me to drink?
That is for you to drink.
What is it? Is it just beer?
It's just
beer. You can tell me how horrible it is, too.
Jeff, you made a triple.
I did, yeah.
Well, let's just get right into this. Have you made a triple before? Is this your first time? I'm going to guess not.
No.
You look like the type of guy who brews a lot of different shit.
I brew a lot of different stuff. I've been making triple for quite a while, so I don't know if that's... Well, I hate to say that after I've already seen the score sheet, so I hate to say that I've been brewing it for a long time, but I have, in fact, yeah.
The best is when you go, this is my favorite beer to make. I make this
the
time.
This is the best beer I've ever made in
all
my
of my
whole
friends
life.
Know me for this particular beer, 14.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Oh, shit, I need to stop. I need to
maybe one or more points than
he needs
that,
better friends,
close.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe that's the problem.
I tell you, I've taken a break from homebrewing a couple times after shit like that, where it's like, this is the best beer ever. I'm so proud of this. I enter a competition, and it's like, I can't even judge it because all the beer just looks, it's solid. It won't even pour out of the bottle.
Gelatinous.
Okay, I'm going to take a break. So what do you want to get out of this this judging here from these quote-unquote gentlemen. You want tips on what do you think? Is there anything wrong with it, you think? What do you want?
So, yeah, there's definitely some things wrong with it. I guess what we're trying to get some inspiration around what kind of changes, modifications to it.
Okay.
Be interesting. Keith was talking about some of the – I got behind the scenes earlier, so these guys were talking about the bitterness aspect. So that was one piece beyond all the other faults. So just want to get a feel for what they think about that.
You guys sharing a glass there? What's going on?
Oh,
this was yours right here.
Is that mine?
Keith. Well, hey, why don't you, tell us about Just Beer? So far, it just tastes like coffee to me because that's all I've been drinking.
Nice.
You can provide some insight.
So aroma-wise, pear, apple, esters, light phenol, moderate alcohol. I got a spicy hop aroma. I get a light olive oil aroma. I know Brian later has a different description for that, so we'll talk about that. Otherwise, sort of, you know, clean to style. I get low oxidation as well. I get some papery notes there.
Sorry.
No worries. Dark gold in color, but also like a weird sort of brownish-greenish tinge to it, which is a little bit weird. I thought maybe that's due to oxidation, would be my guess on that one. Small head, but it did have good retention. Nearly brilliantly clear, beyond that weird color to it.
Oh, and Jeff is handing his beer out to our live conference room audience. I appreciate
that. Can't normally taste along at home, so this is
actually this is kind of cool.
Exciting.
And I'm not used to having that much beer or anybody even attending the live recording, so I didn't even think about it, so I appreciate that. And our other friend Brian's there making sure everyone's getting loaded.
Yeah. I wasn't even sure anybody ever listened. This is crazy.
Jeff brought a lot of beer.
Medium malt sweetness, firm bitterness, really pretty firm for the style even. I got a light banana, some pear again, mild phenol, medium high oxidation, and get some papery, even some sherryness. But you know, the bitterest seems really to jump out for the balance for the style. It is supposed to be a bitter style in terms of, you know, of a Belgian style, but it jumps out pretty much for me. I got a spicy Saz like hop flavor as well. That was a medium high. That was a little bit high for the style too. The sweetness is a touch high as well, and a fair amount of those esters that I was talking about, pear and maybe a little bit of apple. Mouthfeel, medium light body, medium low carbonation, too low for the style. We need to be effervescent. Medium warming, medium to medium high warming. I said appropriate, but a touch high, really. Overall, I thought it was a okay representation of the style. Seems a bit bitter. It seems to have some oxidation issues. The malt, yeah, it didn't really come across as a clean malt sweetness as I was expecting. And I think kind of the weird thing for me is that it's fairly bitter, but it's also oxidized, which is troubling in that, you know, if this is an older beer that was oxidized and it's still this bitter. I imagine what it was like when before it was oxidized and it was sort of coming across, you know, hey, this is a really bitter sort of style and a lot of hop flavor there as well. So I would, for overall, you know, and once again, I'm going to apologize for being sick here and sort of struggling through this a little bit. So I have some problems with esters and fermentation characteristics.
Yeah,
and
how dare you?
And but I think the oxidation jumps out at me and that hop. So I would look at, you know, if it's not really old, what are you doing to get this oxidation? And then beyond that, in terms of the hop flavor and aroma and bitterness, I would probably tune that down a little bit and back off some. And maybe some of that's water-derived as well in terms of the bitterness. Maybe you want to look at softening your water somewhat for this. And we'll talk about that, what you've done with the water.
All right. What did you give him?
I gave him a 26.
26.
Right. No, sorry, that was a 25.
25. All right. Looked like 6 to me.
Okay.
What do I know?
I miscounted it before I was doing 8.
Anyway, out there, are you guys getting the same things that Keith's getting? Sort of, kind of? Oxidized.
Just hold your nose and pretend like you're sick, and then you can probably get the same stuff.
Pretend like it smells strawberries.
Yeah, plug your nose.
All right, Brian, go ahead. Let's see if you can do better.
Yeah, a little history, though. I mean, Jeff is you know, a great beer judge and was a member, is still a member of our Mad Zymergist Club, but then he moved, so I'm still mad at him for that.
Well, take it out of him on the score.
In the beer, the aroma, I got some low spicy phenols in there, a little kind of peppery, a moderate honey-like and papery oxidation of the malt is evident. Just smells kind of stale.
That's one thing I don't remember. I need to remember more of is oxidation isn't necessarily just wet cardboard.
Right.
It's other. It can be that honey kind of thing too.
It'll go different ways, and a lot of times it'll start out with the honey and move on to more nasty, wet cardboard kind of things. But you know, it's kind of in between. It's not all the way to cardboard. So, yeah, not horrible there. Probably shouldn't have knocked it down as badly as I did. But I gave it a 5 on the aroma out of 12. The esters were kind of low too. It just wasn't very bright. I didn't like that. It didn't really pop. It had no kind of brightness to the esters that I would have liked to see in there, and just a little more fruitiness would be nice. It might be that that's getting covered up by some of the stale malt component that's kind of interfering with that coming through very well, but I didn't get any obvious like diacyl or acetaldehyde or anything like that. But yeah, so appearance wise again, it was a little weird looking. It had kind of a light kind of grayish amber.
It does look a little grayish, maybe like amber color. Like a green tint, maybe like a
green tea,
maybe a little bit.
Yeah,
it's a weird
color. Kind of a tea-like color rather than a beer-like color.
Yeah.
So, low white head that faded moderately soon after pouring, but it can be roused. It seems like you'd normally want a bigger, fluffier head on that guy. But the beer is fairly clear. There's not much haze in there. It's an interesting looking beer. So I gave it a 1.
New England style triple.
Just for looking interesting. Otherwise, you can't really. Can you give a 0 there? I don't know.
You can do whatever you want, dude. This is Oregon.
Yeah, this is Dr. Homebrew. We do it our own weird way. In the flavor, the malt is rather kind of muddled tasting with the low, again, that honey like. I got some kind of dark sugar flavors in there in the malt, too. It's got a bit of sweetness. It's not super sweet, but it's. Just kind of the malt's expressing itself in this weird way that gives it the impression of sweetness. It might be actually, it feels like the finish is fairly dry, but it's got this odd little tinge to it, like a weird sugar, like a dark sugar kind of thing. So, not brown sugar, but like a sugar in the raw. You know what I mean?
I hope Jeff used like the most esoteric, weirdest. I hiked the Himalayas and bargained with a donkey to get this sugar.
Yeah.
That's what I hope.
Maybe.
For this recipe.
Yeah, the alcohol is very evident in this beer. It comes across a bit solventy to me, a little biting and harsh. Not extremely so, but it's pretty substantial and it's very noticeable. And you want that to be delivered a little more smoothly in a nicely executed triple. I get kind of a medium floral spicy hop in there. It is fairly bitter. I do agree with the comments about the bitterness that Keith put out there. There's that the maltiness, that odd maltiness kind of just lingers in the aftertaste for me and covers up some other stuff that just kind of muddles up the beer a little too much for me. Gave it a 7 out of 20 on flavor. Mouthfeel-wise, it's medium-bodied. It's a bit heavy feeling, honestly, for the style. It can be medium light to medium per the guidelines, but just it feels a little heavy on the tongue. Substantial warmth in the back of the throat, and actually all the way down the back, can you feel that burning? Like it's a little rough back there. The carbonation is very low. It's I wouldn't say it's not flat, but it's getting towards that, and it should be a lot fluffier and spritzier for sure. It's not very creamy or smooth. There's a bit of astringency in there, but nothing too offensive. But I would say, I give it a 2 on mouthfeel out of 5. Overall, it's just the oxidation of the malt compounds here is just throwing the balance into a weird place, I feel like, and it's on this triple. Otherwise, it seems like it could have been a pretty good recipe, but it's a beer that's either aged a bit too long or was handled poorly, perhaps. But I would work on reducing those higher alcohols for sure because those are really popping out there. Maybe back off the bitterness a little bit too, but that definitely needs some more carbonation. And that, there was talking, one of the talks here, talking about how just the carbonation really helps to drive the flavors. And you can take a certain beer. It was actually in the Cicerone talk, talking about how you can take the same beer with like 2.5 volumes and boost it up to 3, and it just makes it almost a completely different beer. So, this is a different beer because it's on the low side. So I gave it a 20 altogether. So that was a 4 out of 10 on overall impression. So, and just because I hate Jeff right now. But no, he's a good friend. He's all right. What do you have to say for yourself, Jeff?
Yeah, I know. Fess up. Let's go. You don't happen to have your recipe here, do you?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, that'd be cool. You want to give it?
So it's mostly Pilsner malt. Okay. So this is like a 10-gallon batch, about 31 pounds of Pilsner malts. About a pound of aromatic, 5 pounds of just straight up sugar.
What type of sugar? Just table sugar?
Himalayan.
Donkey sugar.
Donkey sugar, yeah. I guess.
That's the best kind of
stuff. That's the technical term for it, I guess.
You can probably buy it at Cost Plus right now.
Yeah, I think so. I walked further for it. But yeah, just straight up regular just sugar.
Okay.
Straight up regular sugar. And then I used Hallard Tower Middle Frew for 60 minutes, about 120 grams there. So, yeah, more on that in a minute. And then about 60.
What's a gram? What are you talking about, grams? How many ounces is that?
I don't know. I'd have to do math to figure out what the ounces were. I'm not exactly sure.
I'll do it. I'll get back to you in an hour.
And then about 60 grams of sots at 10 minutes.
Grams.
And then just a, I think, Y yeast 3787, the high gravity Trappist yeast, which I use a lot, actually.
Okay.
What was the firm temp?
I want to say for that I normally do about 67 for this yeast.
Is that too bitter, do you guys think? Now that we know the recipe, if you can convert grams
into ounces, I'm not very good at that.
See,
either.
That's just so it's a code. It's a codex.
I have a scale that works well enough.
So I want to say it's probably 4 ounces. Of bittering hops.
Well, I mean, how are we going to know? I mean, the middle fruit could be at any alpha acid. It could be at any age. It's really hard for us to tell that off, you know.
So I can say that what I did, I normally made it, about 4 1/4 ounces. So I had been making it with about half as much bittering hop and aroma hop.
Okay.
And so this recipe specifically, I just said, hey, I'm going to, it wasn't enough.
You're going to bump it up.
I'm just going to double it and see what the hell happens.
Yeah. Well, what do you think of it? Because I'm assuming when you have it, it's higher carbonated, I guess, I would hope, maybe.
Yeah,
not.
So
it's not bottle conditioned, right?
No. Okay. It came out of the keg, and I was traveling. I came home, and all 5 taps were dead. And so I just had to throw CO2 on it real fast and get it ready to bring here. So,
okay.
So, it's totally flat and fortunate, which sort of a lot of times when you're doing a score sheet and the beer's flat, it really sort of kills all the flavor, aroma. It kills it across the board, even though... You know, you're only at 5 points for mouthfeel. It sort of kills everything else.
For sure.
What was your water like? What was the
water?
So the water
is super hard. I'm dealing with... So I just moved down to Santa Barbara from the Bay Area and sort of dealing with the fact that they've got super, super hard water. Mm. It's accentuating that bitterness for sure.
Yeah, definitely. I think that the minerality is probably playing off the bitterness there in a weird way too.
In age, did you say how old this beer was?
Yeah, so it's probably about it's probably 3 or 4 months old.
Hmm.
So it's not super old, which
that's not bad.
No, and I think you've got the bitterness piece and it's hoppy, right? So you're like, hey, why if it's going to be old and oxidized? I think some of that is probably just my bottling technique for like, hey, I'm just going to slam this together and bring it. I'm guessing too, though. I had an old sack of grain, old Pilsner. It was like probably almost about a year old, and I was like, well, I'm just going to make a triple out of this. So that could be some of it too.
Hmm. The old sack trick. I gotcha. Well, do you have any questions for anybody about the recipe or what you can do?
Brian hates you so much.
Yeah,
well, we know that.
I mean, so what do you guys think about the bitterness? You think it's over the top?
I think so.
It definitely did. I wanted to see. I was like, hey, let's just ramp this up to 11 and see what happens.
I think it's a little distracting, for sure.
Yeah, when it's pushed up that high against everything else that's there, the alcohol and the phenols, I mean, that's kind of messes it up a little bit too, but it's just weird too because it's so low on carbonation and that messes it up too. So it's pulling it a couple weird different directions.
You had the carbonation, it would probably bump the bitterness up even a little more in terms of impression. I think I think
how do phenols play with bitterness? If you have a high phenol beer, can that interact oddly with a high bitterness?
Yeah, well, hop compounds are phenolic as well, so they do kind of clash a little bit. If you have too hoppy of a beer with too many yeast-derived phenols, you're just like polyphenol soup, you know? It's just like kind of explodes in your mouth a little too
much.
That's
a good beer name, dude. There you go.
There we go.
Polyphenol soup.
There might be a device somewhere around. You can take a bottle of that and just like, you know, have it carbonated a little more and we can taste the difference.
Instant carb recipe?
Go wander aimlessly around the hall and see if you can find
something. Well, you can just grab like a carb cap, one of those things.
Yeah, just get
it into a 2-liter bottle or a liter bottle and do that. But yeah,
that's our best suggestion. I don't know why you keep coming on this show, Joe.
His
glutton for punishment, I guess.
Yeah, his self confidence is too high. He needs to.
Yeah, I mean, I normally feel good about myself, so I come on the show and.
Me too. And that's usually how it goes. Anything else, Jeff? Any questions for the guys?
Or no, okay. I've had enough of them.
Okay. Hey, you know, again, me too. So I feel you. I feel you right there.
I've had enough of us too. I've had enough of myself. Really, so.
What I haven't had enough of though is more beer. The guys just right over there. They've teamed up with John Palmer. You guys all know John Palmer to make 27 beer kits based on the recipes found in brewing classic styles, written by John Palmer and someone called Jamil. I don't know who that person is.
I've heard of that guy.
Ghostwriter, I think. These kits are true to style and are all within BJCP guidelines, enabling them to be easily entered into that upcoming competition. Buy two kits and get fast and free shipping from More Beer. Go over to the folks at morebeer.com, tell them we sent you, and then just hold your hand out. And they may give you something, and they may call security. I don't know. Okay, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. Jeff's going to get as far away from us as possible. Brian's going to come on here, and we're going to have an American barley wine. You have enough to share with everybody? Yes. Ah. Those of you, if you want some American barley wine from Brian, hang out, and we'll be right back.
Cheers.
Hello, fellow BNers. This is Sully from the 21st Amendment Brewery located in San Francisco, just 2 blocks from Giants Park. Before Nico and I opened the 21A and before I was a professional brewer, I homebrewed on my small 4-burner apartment stove in a back house in Santa Monica, California, making my extract brews before graduating to the daunting idea of all-grain brewing. Homebrew books and information was hard to come by back then. The internet hadn't been invented yet, along with other things we take for granted today, like electricity and potable water. One thing I wish I had back then when I was learning was a radio show that could teach me the ins and outs of brewing and answer questions that I had about homebrewing, a resource for making great craft beer. The 21st Amendment Brewery is excited to be a proud sponsor of Dr. Homebrew, a great show that teaches you what you need to know about making incredible beer. Good stuff. Listen up. You might learn something. I certainly did. And thanks for your support. Tasty Crack Games.
Dr. Homebrew, please report to the ER for a code blue. Dr. Homebrew to the ER, please. No, and your tea time has been moved to 2:30.
All right, thanks for sticking around, everybody. Just sipping on Keith's triple instead of Jeff's triple. This is pretty good, man.
Thanks.
I would give it a 32.
Wow. It's pretty young. It's only like 2 months old.
It tastes a lot like coffee. That's why.
Good. Why not a 50, JP? What pulls it down to 32?
Well, I mean, it's a 32 out of 33.
Oh, okay.
That's my own personal
Your
scale
goes lower. I see.
Well,
that's
yeah.
why.
That doesn't surprise me. The scale goes lower.
Yeah, that's why you feel better if you get a 10.
I think it's probably a little too banana-y. I don't like the esters in it. I'm not a huge fan of those necessarily. I think that's probably my biggest complaint about it.
My scale goes to 51.
That's really good, man. Thank you for sharing it. Taylor doesn't get any of them.
I like the triple.
There's some over here if Taylor wants some.
Taylor, do you want some? Taylor's running the boards for us. Here, I'll give
him
this.
From the orange canteen.
And we'll do that.
Don't drink out of the orange canteen, man.
Excuse me. Before we get to our next guest, of course, I want to tell you guys about Great Fermentations because they have the largest catalog of Blickman products on the web. You guys know the Blickman booth right back there. They offer top-notch customer service, same-day shipping on many items. Check them out. They're all over Facebook and Instagram and Twitter as GR8 Fermentation. GreatFermentations.com. Good people, supporters of the show, and we enjoy them very much. And so does everyone at Blickman. So how can you go wrong with that combination? All right, Brian Shar, everybody. How you doing? This young man.
I am doing fantastic. Thank you. Oh. Long-time listener, first-time guest.
That's true. And you are a judge yourself.
Yes, I am.
Not only are you a master judge, but explain your rank, because these two youngsters here need to be put in their place.
Well, youngsters.
The rank just means essentially you've taken the exam, you've scored well enough on certain exams, and you've graded enough exams to be able to advance.
So you're kind of a glorified TA.
Except TAs get paid.
Oh.
So we just kind of do this thing because we love it. Just out of the goodness of our hearts.
God bless you. What's your rank?
I am a master.
But you're almost...
I'm almost grandmaster. Wow. I believe my next exam set will put me over the top for grandmaster.
Wow.
But he's still not a grandmaster, so we're all masters here. So we're all even. That's nice.
Well, congrats,
yeah, that
man.
And like $5 will get me a cup of coffee at Starbucks.
Hey, anything to – first of all, that's cheap Starbucks coffee.
Taylor, could you play a little Master of Puppets over there, please?
DJ Taylor over here. Well, thanks, Brian, for hauling your beer out here, and congratulations on almost becoming Grandmaster.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. All right, Brian, you want to start out first? The other Brian?
I'm feverishly grading exams to try to catch up with Brian, but yeah, this is going to get confusing real fast. So Brian S.'s beer, the American Barley Wine. Some of you guys are drinking it out there, and share it with us. Let us know if we're off our rockers, too, if you get anything we're not getting. Come up and just, you know,
scream.
Grab our necks and kind of rattle our heads around and say, it's diacetyl, you... yeah, anyway, I'm getting in the nose, I'm getting a nice, pleasant, citrusy hop aroma. A little resiny and kind of dank-like, and but moderately strong caramelly malt. It's nice and rich on the malt side. Getting a bit of the sherry-like character in there. Seems clean. No obvious issues. No diacetyl, no acetaldehyde. It smells like it's been moderately aged, maybe, but still the hops are so fresh. Like on the malt side, it smells like it's been aged because of the little sherry-like that's popping up. But on the hop side, it's still like, wow, it's got a lot of hops still. So... I don't know. It's like maybe a little less than a year or 9 months or a year old, if I had to guess. I don't know. Maybe you told me, but it smells pretty fresh on the hops. So it's probably younger than that. Color-wise, it's a kind of rich mahogany color with a low off-white, light tan head. It's a bit murky, pretty firmly murky. The head's fading slowly.
Firmly murky. Yeah,
Never heard that before.
That's a new one.
Yeah, that's...
If I got that on a score sheet, I'd be pissed. Firmly murky.
It's firmly in the murky territory. How about that?
I'm going to track you down for that
one.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. Some other people will, too. There's people throwing out really good descriptors at these talks, the malt analysis.
I think that's going to be your presentation next year at the conference is firmly murky.
Yes.
Well, the discussion just
that's
about.
That's the only title. Yeah. I'm feeling that way sometimes. Yeah, the head faded out pretty quickly there, but you can rouse it up a little bit, and you get a little collar around the glass there. But flavor-wise, all of a sudden the bitterness just jumps out. You know, when I get it in my mouth, like I like the nose a lot. I scored it pretty high on the aroma.
Mm-hmm. It smells great,
but that the bitterness is really heavy in the flavor, just right at the start, pushing over the malt, everything else that's there. I wanted to get some. I'm like, oh, this will be one of those nice caramelly rich things. There's a little bit of that in there, but it's like, ooh, yeah, it kind of bites the tongue, that bitterness there. So, and the hop flavor is resiny and dank, citrusy. But, yeah, definitely the beer, the overall balance of the beer is just balanced to the bitterness. It's not to the malt or the hops. It's just the hop bitterness is what just stands out. This grassiness just lingers into the aftertaste, and, yeah. So it finishes kind of, you know, slightly sweet. It's pretty sweet in the finish. It's
absolutely. My favorite part about this beer, if I can just interrupt you real fast, is that it's body temperature, and I love that in beer.
Yeah, it's
so much.
At
I love
the
it
right
so much.
Temperature,
97 degrees, dude. If it's any colder or warmer, I'm throwing it out. I want to feel like I'm drinking carbonated.
He brewed
blood.
It that way. That's the way he brewed it to be body temperature.
All right. God bless.
So, yeah, the flavor kind of expressed itself in a weird way.
Jason, I held this in my pocket on the way up here for a long, just to be sure it was nice and body temperature for you.
It's like the bane of my existence at any. She's like, you want to try this at club night? You want to try this beer I've been holding in my pocket for 5 hours?
Isn't there like a booth this year so they can put it in like ice coolers or something? They
Sorry,
create something for that.
That's my blood pocket. Hold
that
on.
That won't happen anymore.
I thought you were a vampire. Go ahead. Sorry.
Imagine tasting this if it was ice cold. It would just be all wrong, right? mouthfeel wise, it's very full bodied. There's a smooth, bold alcohol warmth that comes through.
It's really good.
So there's a little bit of astringency probably from the hops, I would say. A little hop derived astringency. Not very creamy, but yeah, it's kind of big in the mouthfeel like it is in the flavor there. But you know, I'd say overall, it's a nice barley wine, especially the aroma. But yeah, that bitterness just begins to take over, dominates in the flavor, and it kind of knocked it down for me. I would set this beer aside, and just that bitterness is going to fade over time. And maybe this was made as a beer to be aged. I can't speculate on that, but yeah. I would set this beer aside and taste it again in maybe a year and a half or 2 years.
Really?
Yeah.
It's that firm.
It's got a
The bitterness is that
the bitterness is going to stay around for a while, and but I think it's just going to be a lot nicer beer and more approachable at that time. I mean, still, it wasn't a heavily flawed beer. It was just a kind of a balanced thing that got thrown out with that bitterness. So I ended up giving it a 35. I probably should have knocked it down a little bit lower, but I like Brian, so, you know, he's still one of my friends.
Mainly because he's not Jeff.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I'm not really a barley wine head, you know, but I think it's ready to go now. Yeah. I would just drink the hell out of
it. I disagree with Brian entirely. Yeah. I'm AM6, so my comments are going to be a little bit off, but I think this is the prime time to go now, and I think any more in the future, it's going to be too sweet. And the bitterness isn't going to support that sweetness. I can just throw away my score sheet and not even read it after I just said that. But
okay.
You know, I mean, that's kind of where I'm falling on in this here. The same stuff. I got big caramel, grainy malt, get some sherry in the nose. I get some oxidation there, a little bit of age. Medium hop aroma. I get some of the citrus, some of the dankness there. Low alcohol, but very clean. Nothing off. No diacetyl, no acetaldehyde, anything wrong there. Deep amber, medium light haze, but very little carbonation. Medium. I'm sorry. What was the word for the haze that I should have used?
Firm
murkiness. Yeah, medium light is not right. It was a medium haze, maybe a firm murky haze, but it wasn't very pretty.
Right.
It didn't look very good. But barley wines, I can deal with that. Big malt, some sherry, lots of sweetness I got, then also a firm bitterness along with that, and I kind of like that balance together. Big hop flavor again with that citrus and dankness together too, but again, very clean, low esters, get some alcohol flavor there too. The balance is, I think to me, for American barley wine, the balance is sort of, it's kind of in between. I think it's kind of like medium and more to, you know, more to bitterness, but I think that's appropriate for style. I think where it is right now kind of hits the sweet spot for an American barley wine. Medium full body, low carbonation, which is okay again for barley wine. I'm not having a problem with that. Medium warming, and the stringency I thought was kind of low for how much bitterness you had. I kind of like that. And overall, I thought it was a really tasty beer, but I really wish it were a little more well attenuated. I thought the sweetness is going to cause problems down the line, and I think, you know, more it ages, it's going to kind of lean toward more of an English style or something as you go along here. It would do that, you know, but I don't know. I mean, I used to, back in the day, I made a lot of barley wines, and like the first two or three years I'd enter them as an American barley wine, and then the next 3 years I'd enter them as an English barley wine, and then after that I'd enter them as an old ale. So there was a good lifespan of all this you could do with barley wine. It's kind of fun.
You would enter 5-year-old barley wine as English barley wine?
Yeah.
And would you win?
I'd win, yeah. But this is back like 10 years ago. I used to brew a lot of barley wine. I have some barley wine here as well right now. I think it's probably in its sweet spot right now. I'd probably scored it low because I don't know what the hell's going on, but I scored it a 33. But I thought it was a tasty beer. I just thought it was a little bit on the sweet side. I'd like to see a little more attenuation. I'm really interested in hearing about the recipe and where it actually finishes, and compare like what Brian and I are both thinking about this beer and where it should be. But yeah, barley wines are tricky because of the whole age thing. You want some hop character. You want some of the age as well to make them tasty. That oxidation character, the sherry notes are actually really great in barley wines, but you also want to have some of that hop character. So it's how do you balance all that and all of the bitterness and then also the malt. And so it's like, year to year, barley wine can hit its peak, and then it's something else. And you may not win, but it still may taste great. But in a competition, but it is a tricky thing to deal with. And
this beer is a lot like life in a way. It's bitter and sweet at the same time. You know, that's the
and firmly murky
impression.
Right, very firmly murky. All right, Brian. What's your recipe? Actually, if you want to hand that out,
all right,
verbally, please.
I would be happy to.
Right.
And I'll even make hand... No, I'm not making handouts for you guys. all right, so...
I will go to the business center right now.
Well, in that case, let's take a break. And, no, I frankly, I'm proud to be involved with the new descriptor of Firmly Murky, and I will always cherish that from you guys, so thank you.
It's a good name for the beer.
So, Brian's right. I made this in March 2016. So
okay.
This is a little over 2 years old.
Wow.
I brewed it specifically to age and to just pull out three from time to time and enter in competition. I bottled all 10 gallons.
Did you enter it in NHC?
I did not.
Okay.
Because I'm lazy.
All right, fair
and
enough.
Laziness took over. I had a case sitting in the office room. And
reason.
Well, I should enter it. No, I'll do it tomorrow. And then next thing, I just never got around
all
to
right.
it.
Fair enough, man.
So laziness always pays off, right?
Yes.
So I made 10 gallons. I have a standard 10-gallon batch size. I mashed at 145 for 30 minutes, 154 for 30 minutes after that, in an attempt to try to improve attenuation. I wanted to mash low for at least a little while. I broke
Didn't
this
work,
up into 2 5-gallon fermenters, and one was WLP 005, and one was WLP 090, the San Diego Super Yeast.
Okay.
What's interesting is this one that we drank today was the one fermented with the San Diego Super Yeast.
Hmm.
So the original gravity was 1.100, a little bit less than I had wanted it to be. The Super Yeast finished at 1013.
Wow.
Which was really, I was shocked I got it down that far.
What would it normally finish at? Sorry.
No, it's the 07 got down to 022, which is more like what I would have expected. But this, because that's about, it's still 80% attenuation.
It's pretty good.
And 80%, especially for a really big beer, is a lot. So I made a starter. I don't have notes on how large the starter is, but I typically, for something big, will make a couple liters. So I went ahead and did that. So my recipe, I based my recipe on Jamil's.
Got to put your eyes on, dude.
Yeah, I got. I'm old, so you know what I.
All right, Grandpa, get your eyes on.
So here we go. Now I can actually. So I use some malts that we can't get in the 21st century. So for 10-gallon batch size, 2 pounds Crystal 80,
mm-hmm.
2 pounds Crystal 15. Half a pound of chocolate malt, 10 pounds Maris Otter, 10 pounds Turo, and then I topped that off with 10 pounds of the More Beer Light DME. I believe that's Brees. And then 3 pounds of good old cane sugar. So there, this is 35-plus pounds of fermentables in a 10-gallon batch, which is quite an adventure. I boiled for 90 minutes.
Okay.
So my hops, 4 ounces Columbus, which is kind of the dankiness, Brian, that you were talking about. I don't generally like Columbus, but I like it in conjunction with Galaxy.
Okay.
So
interesting.
I did 4 ounces of Columbus at 90 minutes, 2 ounces of Columbus at 60 minutes, and I can't even remember why I chose this. 4 ounces of Pacific Gem at 30 minutes. Somebody must have given me some.
I was going to say, was that free hops at the from HomebrewCon in 2016?
I believe that was maybe from 2015. I don't know. I may have still had them in my freezer. I got some free hops somewhere.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure, I'm brewing a barley wine. Let's just put these free hops in. I guarantee you that's where they came from.
Why not?
So that was 4 ounces Pacific Gem at 30 minutes, 2 ounces Pacific Gem at 15 minutes, and also 2 ounces of Galaxy and Columbus at 15 minutes.
Okay.
Right at flame out, 2 ounces each of Galaxy and Pacific Gem. And then I dry hopped with 4 ounces of Galaxy. So I pretty much jammed hops in this thing everywhere I could jam hops in, which is why, you know, Brian was saying there's a lot of hop character to this. Yeah, I put hops in the beginning, middle, end. Yeah, it's Howard from my club in the audience is saying this is an Australian barley wine. And I think, you know, there's a lot to be said for that. An Aussie New Zealand sort of Pacific extravaganza.
That's true. That's a good name for it.
Mildly, firmly murky Pacific
better.
Extravaganza.
Well, that's true.
Why not both, Keith?
Hey, I guess. Yeah. I guess.
Hey,
more
man,
is better. It's
every beer needs a subtitle.
So this is the one that finishes at 10:13?
This is the one that finished at 10:13. There's almost 90% attenuation.
Anybody in the audience believe that?
So I'm thinking all the
Brian's
all
a liar.
Of that sweetness is coming from the alcohol somehow. It's just this smooth, rich alcohol
sweetness. I don't know.
I don't know what else to say. That's crazy.
I just poured my barley wine here, which probably finishes at 10:20 something, and it tastes drier than the 10:13 one.
Yeah, I mean, I use what I do for my final gravity measurement, and I use my refractometer, and
then
use the more beer. Yeah, well, I just shove, see how far it pushes back.
Float in my beer? Yes. Okay.
Bathtub of it, and just sort of.
Problem is that uses up like 20 gallons of it to test that out.
True but, that.
No, I'll use the refract and then the more beer spreadsheet from the more beer website to kind of. There's the Excel sheet that mm-hmm. backs out the final gravity from the refractometer reading. So.
Right.
Maybe it's not as accurate as going ahead and just taking the full hydrometer and taking the full reading, but it's, again, I'm lazy. And well, I could just put a couple of drops on there, I'm good.
Keith is also a flat earther, so he doesn't really believe a whole lot of things.
No, I mean, like, what I do for Final Gravity and Original Gravity and all that sort of stuff is I take multiple readings with different hydrometers with a refractometer and do everything and chart them all out and make
crazy.
Sure it all, like...
That, nobody does
make
that.
Sure it, you know, like, yeah, and I had, like, one of those Final Gravity hydrometers, and which you can't use for barley wine anyway, usually, because it goes above 10-20, but, yeah, you know, you want
to
check
as much
stuff.
I'd be willing to bet, like, 9 times out of 10, nobody takes... Even a final gravity reading, like it. I rarely.
How many people in the audience take a final gravity reading who brew?
Yep. Consistently,
yeah.
You can say there. See the hands start dropping. That's right. That's right. So there you go.
Half those people aren't even brewing. They're just here. They're just here to see all the hot home brewers. So
that's true.
There's hot home brewers somewhere.
Yeah, we'll find them later.
Yeah. Okay.
Do you have any questions, Brian? For these young whippersnappers.
You know, I think. Thank you for reviewing this beer. I mean, clearly it's very flat. And that's a big flaw with this. And I think, and I was dumb when I bottled this, because I knew it's a barley wine, and I knew I should add yeast. But I had to bottle on a particular day for whatever reason, and I didn't have any more yeast. So I'm like, oh, screw it, I'm just going to bottle this. And that was a big mistake, because all my yeast had pooped out. I needed new yeast.
Yeah.
So that was an issue, and I think that would have made it maybe seem a little less sweet, or a little... less sweet to have some proper carbonation on this.
I asked for if you had a question, not a statement.
No, but it's a really good point. It's something we should talk about is adding yeast back to barley wines. And, you know, what I'm pouring right now, I made it for my son's, when he was born, the week he was born. And I mean, you know, this is obviously from the keg, but I added champagne yeast. I've been doing this for like 10 years, adding champagne yeast to bottle barley wines, and I've never had like over attenuation or it fermented more. You know, it just gave carbonation to the beer. And before I did that, I used to have the same problem you had, where the beer is basically flat when you're pouring it. It's still tasty, but it just, you know, it just doesn't, it's not as good. So I think it's an important thing to note when you're making a really high gravity beer like this, and don't be afraid of something like champagne yeast either, because it has a high alcohol tolerance and it works and doesn't do anything crazy to the beer either. So
I once took a barley wine that was doing that, and I'd bottled the whole batch, and then I just gently poured it into keg and force carbonated, and it worked just fine. You know, I mean, it's a barley wine, so it can take a little oxidation. I was as gentle as I could be, and it actually worked okay. It wasn't perfect, but you know, that's another way you can overcome that. But it's maybe a little weird way.
Sorry, Brian, I interrupted your question.
No, that was actually my thing about the flatness was leading up to, you know, is there exactly what Brian said? Is there, you know, is the risk of oxidation by pouring a bunch of bottles into either a keg or like the Gordon Strong method, right? You pour them into like a 2-liter plastic jug get the carbonator cap and just carbonate it up. Do you think the risk of oxidation? And, you know, Brian, I think Brian has a great point that it's a style that kind of needs some oxidation anyway that goes along with the aging.
Yeah.
And Keith, what do you think?
Well, I think you're too lazy to enter an NHC, so I'm imagining you're going to be too lazy to actually do that either. You know, and so,
yeah, you're not wrong.
Sometimes people just want to know what they should be doing, not necessarily to act on it, but just
that's
to go,
true.
Oh,
I mean,
maybe one person in the audience might be willing to do that. I don't know.
Yeah. I think it's worth trying. It, you know, obviously you want to correct the problem in advance, but if you have that, I mean, most of brewing is like, hey, now I have a problem. What do I do? You know, every time you brew, there's probably something that's going to go wrong at some point, and you have the ability to fix it as you're, or maybe every other third time or whatever. Yeah. You know,
would somebody please bring us a non-problem beer on this show sometime? Thank you.
But one that still is temperature of blood.
Yes.
Because I need that, and it's very important to me. Brian Schar, thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Had a blast being on the show.
Thanks, Brian.
We're going to take a quick break, but before we do, I want to let you know. Oh, thank you. Look at that. Brian's Homebrew Club must be in the audience.
Well, exactly.
I'm paying them all $20 to come.
They're called the worst of wisdom, is what I've heard.
Dude, you're in our club.
I misspelled the club name. It says the worst of wisdom on my thing.
Oh, Keith.
Which is true. I am the worst of the words of wisdom.
That's true. The American Homebrewers Association, I'm sure you guys have heard of that, AHA, I've heard is what they're called. They are doing Learn to Homebrew Day November 3rd. So it's time to plan ahead, everybody, to set up your own celebration. Visit AHA website at homebrewersassociation.org to view a map or to learn more about more Homebrew Day events. And you got resources to promote your own, get people in, teach people how to homebrew. Let's start growing this thing even more than we already are. Okay. Taylor, let's take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to give away a prize to one of these two people, and then we're going to go and hopefully drink a lot of Rainier.
Do you know the three most important rules in brewing? sanitation, sanitation, and sanitation. And no one does it better than Five Star Chemicals. Five Star knows sanitation. You can only sanitize clean equipment. And Five Star knows how to clean, too. For craft brewers and home brewers, Five Star has what you need to keep your fermenters, serving tanks, kegs, and draft lines sparkling and free of any beer-spoiling bacteria. PBW, caustic, acid cleaners, Star Sand, Santa Clean, lubricants and defoamers, pH stabilizers, and more. Five Star Chemicals has cleaning supplies, safety supplies, heat exchangers, pumps, hoses, and valves. And Five Star is proud to offer eco-friendly products that exceed customer expectations. If you have a cleaning problem, you need the five-star solution. Visit fivestarchemicals.com or call 800-782-7019, 800-782-7019, and get the five-star treatment today.
Are you a member of the White Labs Customer Club? If not, you should be. It's the easiest way to earn free stuff for turning in your old homebrew labels from either Vials or Pure Pitch. All you have to do is save your labels and redeem them for things like free yeast, an exclusive White Labs t-shirt or sweatshirt, and even the opportunity to brew with the yeast man himself, Chris White. Signing up is easy. Just go to whitelabs.com/customer club, fill out the registration form, and then mail in your labels. They will return the favor by sending you awesome White Labs swag. Go sign up today at whitelabs.com/customer club. White Labs, pure yeast and fermentation since 1995.
Ma'am, I'll need to take your top off for this examination.
Oh, doctor.
All right, everybody, thanks for hanging out. We're going to give something away here real fast, but before we do, I do want to let you guys know about the iDip. They're right over there, the Smart Brew Water Testing Kit. It has a revolutionary photometer system, which is the first and only one on its market with its own app. Excuse me, home or commercial use. It takes great water to make great beer. Everybody knows that. But the beauty about the iDip is you can use it in your home or you can use it in your commercial brewery. So it's one of the very few pieces of equipment that can transfer over if you want to, you know, open your own brewery at some point. That'd be cool. You can email the results of your water test to the rest of your brewing team or post it on your Facebook page and let your homebrew club get the lowdown on your base water profile. You can test for over 40 different water quality tests, things like toll alkalinity, chloride, calcium hardness, pH, sulfite, and more, with only 4 milliliters of water needed for each test. Perform each test with pre-treated reagent strips specific for each test, and there's no math needed on your part. Go to smartbrewkit.com, enter code TBN10 at checkout, and save $10 on either the standard or the advanced Smart Brew testing kit. Okay. So on Dr. Homebrew here, we'd like to give away a $40 gift certificate to GrogTag, grogtag.com, the customizable, reusable labels for your homebrew. They also do custom bottle caps, coasters, metal signs, all sorts of cool stuff. Yeah. They're over there, too. Actually, they have some beer from Flat Tail Brewing down in Corvallis, so go get some free beer from them.
Yeah, I want to check them out and say thank you much for supporting the show. I never really had a chance to do that, so I'd love to stop over.
Yeah, please.
I saw them floating around, too. Yeah, they're good guys.
But we don't give it to the winner. We give it to the runner-up. I don't want to say loser, because then everyone's going to think that I always win the grog tag because I'm a loser.
Well, Jeff told me he needed a sign for his garage in Santa Barbara, so I promised him I'd score his beer extra low. You know, this is never rigged or anything, but
well, the
Jeff, the winner of the $40 gift certificate is my former friend Jeff.
There we go, former friend Jeff. The $40, at least your beer will look good. Gift certificate to grogtag.com. Get creative over there. Use code BNARMY on grogtag.com. You save $10 on your next order. All right, Taylor, let's get out of here, huh? What do you think?
Don't forget to buy some merch from Bevo over here, and
you should do that too.
Hats and shirts and all kind of good stuff.
Make sure you attend the
BN booth.
The thing on Saturday night as well.
Yes,
the
BNA 13
is coming up.
And the thing on Saturday night.
The thing on Saturday night. And then, of course, if you guys are around tomorrow, we're going to do another one of these shows at 4 o'clock, I believe, tomorrow as well. So come hang out, drink some beer, and listen to these guys talk on. Until then, we'll see you guys next time.
Thank you, guys.